From Washington, this is VOA News. Hello, I'm Steve Miller. After a missile test Friday, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un claimed Saturday that his country possesses missiles that could strike the entire United States mainland. Pentagon spokesman Navy Captain Jeff Davis provided details about the launch Friday.
It traveled about 1,000 kilometers before splashing down in the Sea of Japan. It splashed down inside of Japan's exclusive economic zone about 88 nautical miles from Hokkaido.
China has condemned the launch, while Japan, South Korea, and the U.S. vow to work together on a new U.N. Security Council measure aimed at curbing North Korea's nuclear ambitions. Pakistan's ruling party named senior lawmaker Shahid Khaqan Abbasi as Nawaz Sharif's successor Saturday. Sharif's supporters took to the streets to support the former prime minister.
This is a huge injustice to Mian Muhammad Nawaz Sharif. The court has done an injustice to Nawaz Sharif, whom 180 million people of the country accept. The decision is based on a few million rupees, is a big injustice to Nawaz Sharif. The 180 million people of Pakistan are with Nawaz Sharif. We will give our blood and our lives.
Sharif said he didn't believe he should have been treated in this manner and felt it was insulting and unacceptable. The Pentagon strongly countered Saturday Iran's claim that a United States Navy aircraft carrier fired warning shots at one of its ships in an unprofessional manner. The Navy said it was a professional interaction. Iran's official IRNA news agency quoted a statement from the Revolutionary Guard as saying the incident occurred Friday when the USS Nimitz approached an offshore oil platform in the Persian Gulf. For additional updates, follow VOA on social media. This is VOA News. An inquiry is looking into allegations an Australian Special Forces soldier shot a dead man in Afghanistan and planted a firearm on his body to make it look as if the trooper had acted in self-defense. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
It's alleged that a member of Australia's Special Air Service, the SAS, killed an Afghan businessman during a raid on a warehouse in Afghanistan's Uruzgan province in April 2011. According to the military's official version of events, the man, who was said to be a senior figure in the Taliban, had tried to escape and had drawn a pistol before being shot dead by an SAS soldier. However, a friend of the victim, who said he witnessed the shooting, said the businessman was unarmed and hadn't tried to run away. The provincial government also said at the time there was no evidence the man was linked to Taliban insurgents. The shooting is one of a list of killings involving Australia's SAS unit that are being examined by a high-powered inquiry. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Unknown gunmen have attacked the house of Kenya's deputy president moments after he left to campaign with the president for re-election for the August 8th vote in Kenya. Barry Newshouse has more.
Local media reported unidentified gunmen attacked Kenyan deputy president William Ruto's home in the western town of Eldoret on Saturday while Ruto and his family were away. A police officer guarding the residence was wounded. Gunshots could still be heard from the scene. Heavily armed officers were at the location responding to the attack. The incident comes some 10 days before Kenya's presidential, legislative, and regional county representative elections on August 8th. Ruto is President Uhuru Kenyatta's running mate. Kenyatta is seeking a second and final term in office. Barry Newhouse, VOA News.
Police disrupted a terrorist plot to bring down an airplane and arrested four men on Saturday in raids on homes in several Sydney suburbs. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said security had been increased at Sydney Airport since Thursday because of the plot. And increased security measures have been extended to all major international and domestic terminals around Australia over the evening. Australian Federal Police Commissioner Andrew Colvin said details were scant on the specifics of the attack, the location, and the timing. Seven Turkish journalists were freed from prison after 9 months on Saturday. However, they expressed sorrow that four of their colleagues are still detained. The journalists must still stand trial, with the next hearing scheduled for September 11th. If convicted, they face terms of up to 43 years in prison. From Washington, D.C., I'm Steve Miller.
That's the latest world news from VOA.